This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Barry, Nick, and Joel till 4. Usual Suspects, one in the book, two to go. Plenty more show if you want to partake. 713-780-3776 on the HRNP listener line, where you can text and call or hit us up on Twitter. We want to remind the entire universe that Monday Movie Moments with Trey is indeed going to partake today.
When are we
going to
get this right? I can't get it right either. When are we going to get this right? Because it's not. We're never going to get it
right. I literally wrote it down so that I could say it correctly, and then I was stumbling Bob over here. So that's on me. 2:30, Pulp Fiction.
Yes.
Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
It's like me trying to say especially. I have been, I practice.
Supposedly it is.
Yeah, because I was always saying especially. I would put an X in there somewhere, especially, and that's not right. And people were calling me out on the text lines for saying especially. So I thought, all right, you know what? I'm open to criticism, and I've always said that, so let me work on it. So now, even in normal conversation during the day, if I use that word, I have to really focus to say especially.
Like you say it slower.
Yeah, I should be like, especially, and you just make it really weird.
Supposedly, I had a problem with supposedly.
Yeah. I think you've gotten over that.
Yes, I've gotten over it, and you know why? Because my wife browbeats me with it at home, thinking, the listeners are right, you said it wrong. And I'm sitting at the house like on a laid-back Sunday morning, drinking coffee, and I'll say, you said it again. That's an easy way for me to get rid of it.
That would, that would drive me nuts if my wife was correcting me at the house.
Yeah,
I'd be like,
I got that one.
I'd be like, what are you, a texter? What are you texting the show now? What do you have a job where you have to speak? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, whoops.
I tried to go back at OU Mike's suggestion and listen to Drink of Ages, and it's 11 days old, the one on their website. So I don't know. I'm going to have to get a copy of the show.
You know what happened, right?
And listen to it on the way home.
Your boy Chris was producing that show.
Yeah.
So evidently it didn't make it to the podcast.
Yeah. And then I want to hear what happened. If there's any specifics, OU Mike, that I need to listen for, like a specific segment or
time of the show,
it would be easier than having to listen to the whole thing. Not that it's not a great show. I just have, you know, other things I've got to take care of before I leave town. So, you know.
I just mean...
Right, I know. So mean.
It's just a mean-spirited person.
I'm a mean man.
So, NBA, round two. Rockets, Spurs, game one in San Antonio tonight. That's upon us. Chuck already says he thinks the Rockets will come out loose because of the fact that all the pressure's on the Spurs. You guys believe that?
No.
I don't either.
I don't think either of them will come out tight necessarily. I think that if anything, they might come out thinking, boy, I hope our shots are falling.
They have to. Look, I mean, they did what
to
they
me,
had.
That's the whole key to this series.
They took care of business against OKC, but they were sloppy on so many fronts that they got to clean it up because it's just not going to fly in as you play tougher teams.
Yeah, I mean, that's, yeah, slow starts against the Spurs is going to be a death knell for them. And I think all those slow starts were because their shot wasn't falling. So if their shot is, if it's going in early, hey, good sign. I think they have a chance to hang with and or possibly even steal one on the road. You know, I don't think they're going to win this series. I'll just come out and say that now. They win this series. I think they lose in six. But I'm not saying they can't win this series.
Right.
Absolutely, they can beat the Spurs. They absolutely can beat the Spurs if their shot is falling. I mean, the Spurs, I was trying to look up, okay, well, let's, you know, I was concerned about rebounds going into the Thunder. The Rockets right now are the third highest rebounding team in the playoffs. That surprised me when I saw that.
I think the important thing, because we're not the only one saying that if the shot doesn't fall, this is going to be a huge problem for the Rockets going against the Spurs. There's a lot of people taking that. But I think the reason why the Rockets were able to get away with a lot of the shots being missed was that when they would miss their three-point shot on the other end, the Thunder would miss their basket, whether it's a three-pointer or a two-point. And I don't know if the Spurs are going to do that. I don't know. Every time that they miss a three-point shot, I think the Spurs will exploit that more. They'll take advantage of that more, and they'll actually produce offense. And I think that's my biggest fear going into this series.
So, and you're right, Nick. I mean, it's not a, first of all, they're not a one-man band. You know, they've got Danny Green, and they've got Patty Mills, and they've got guys that just sit there and feast on threes.
They have. Would it surprise you if I told you that the Spurs are second in three-point percentage?
It would.
In the playoffs?
You would think Golden State would be right up there with the Rockets.
Milwaukee is first, was first.
Wow.
Shooting 41.5%. San Antonio second at 41.0. The Rockets? You want to guess where the Rockets fall?
Sixth.
Nope. Guess?
Oh, that's right. They had a bad, well, they had a bad 20, first round.
No, wait. There's only 16 teams. So 16? 15? 15?
They got to be 16th. They are dead last, shooting 28.4% from behind the three-point line.
For some reason, I thought 10 and 10 West. I don't know why.
Yeah, no. But yeah. 28%. And so the other thing to look at in that regard is three-pointers made. How many are they making per game? The Spurs are making 9.8, which is still better than the Rockets at 9.6.
Wow.
If the
what
Spurs,
did the Rockets, regular season, weren't they making like 17, 18?
Yeah, if the Spurs can match you and your three-point shooting,
you're in
they're
trouble,
not, yeah, they're not. That's because that's the one advantage you're supposed to have. So, ooh. Boy, that's going to be ugly.
And here's the thing. I wanted to wait because I wanted to preface this because I get tired of people saying you're bitter and you're crotchety and you hate the Rockets. And that's not the case. But I'm going to be honest with you because I can be now. And so I'm with you, Barry. I said from the get-go, I think it'll be a longer series. I think because of the factors that you guys both touched on and some other things, I think the Spurs will win the series. I went back and forth between 6 and 7 games. The one thing that I think the Rockets have going for them more than anything else is what I mentioned to Mikhail last week. LaMarcus Aldridge does not look right to me. He does not look happy to me. And he is a guy that is the could be the complete difference maker in this series. He doesn't even have to play like he played when he was with the Blazers. He just has to go down on the block and be able to get some guys in foul trouble and to make some shots and then start extending it where he can bring it out to the three line. And then you still got Gasol. The way he looks is the biggest reason why I think the Rockets could still win this series, simply because I said months ago, if you face a team like the Spurs where you can put Gasol on the elbow or the high post, you can put Aldridge in the low post, and you really force the Rockets to have to defend two post players, it could be problematic. But I think for everything that we've said and the fact that the one thing that I will give the Rockets a bigger chance at winning this series is because of the fact that Aldridge doesn't look right to me, doesn't look happy. He looks ticked off that he's not the man and he's not getting the touches. But at the same time, they do have home court advantage. They did win 60-plus games, and there's a reason why. And Barry, I go back to a stat that you brought up numerous times throughout this show during the regular season. Of the three worst shooting performances of the year for the Rockets, especially from three, San Antonio was the reason why in two of those three games, Golden State the other. So the level of competition goes way up now. Their ability to guard the perimeter with a bunch of athletic guys helps them immensely, and people are discounting what Kawhi Leonard can do on the defensive end.
Not only that, I'm looking at the depth chart thinking, how do the Rockets match up with this? Who guards Kawhi Leonard? Trevor Ariza, right?
Yeah.
I think you have to put Ariza on Kawhi Leonard. So then what do you do about Deadman / Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge? Do you put Nene and Capella on Aldridge? Are you going to let Ryan Anderson guard LaMarcus Aldridge? That could get ugly.
You want to talk about a guy who can have an attitude adjustment in a positive way? Put Ryan Anderson on LaMarcus Aldridge.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what worries me a little bit more. And then, of course, you know, Tony Parker, I think. Would you take Bev and have him guard Danny Green and Ginobili while they're in the game? Or would you have him guard Parker? Patty Mills comes in. I think he definitely needs to guard Patty Mills.
What an X factor he is.
But between Parker, Green, and Ginobili, I mean,
I'm not worried about Ginobili. And you look at what he did. He had one game where he was part of the difference. But overall,
Harden can guard him.
Yeah, he was overall he was nothing to me. I would put. Here's the thing. Up until the end of the Memphis series, I would have put Pat Bev on Danny Green.
Yeah.
But Parker's. Was it the last game against Memphis?
Yeah.
He looked like the old Tony Parker. He looked like a guy that had been resting all year for that very moment, and he went to town. And I think that's one of the things the Rockets have to prevent. You got to prevent another guy from being able to go off to that extent, whether it's Aldridge or Parker or Green. And don't discount how good a defender, and Mikhail said it to us too, I think, Danny Green is. Mm. He's a better than average defender as well. So you got to factor that in. Now, the one thing I will say is this is the NBA, and I've said this for years on the air. It's the NBA where everybody, no lead is safe and everybody makes a run. If you don't believe me, go look at that Washington-Boston game yesterday. 16-0 to start the game, and then everybody starts talking about, you know, that almost 90% of the time a team that opens up a big double-digit lead to start wins it. Well, they didn't yesterday. So the slow starts, yeah, they can be something, but it's how you recover from it too. But it's going to be harder to recover against a team like the Spurs as opposed to a team like the Thunder. All right, let us know what you think. We've got plenty more opinions. We can pull them out of our back pocket or below anytime. 713-780-3776, where you can hit us up on calls or text, or hit us up on Twitter as we continue to check it throughout the show. We are the usual suspects, and of course, this is ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Nick, and Barry till 4, The Usual Suspects. I wish we would throw this dang chair out. Granado loves it. It doesn't have a wheel. It's lopsided. And it always gets left to where I sit down and I go, oh.
Because it looks like you're about to fall. Or you look like that you feel like you're about to fall, basically.
I feel like the rock, the boat, don't let the boat tip. Oh. It just keeps, it's annoying. I got to change it. All right. So.
Can I?
Of course.
There's this, I saw this article. And I'm thinking, whoever signs up for this is a dumbass.
Hey, real quick, Monday movie moments at 2:30?
Yeah, Monday movie moments with Trey.
Sorry.
No, yeah, 2:30.
Nick, you stuck that.
Next segment.
Way to stick the landing.
Yeah, I think he was just practicing. He wanted to say it out loud and nail it.
Yeah, you stuck the landing.
I rehearsed it like 3 times during the commercial break while your mics were still on.
Yeah, we got to be careful. Yeah. I wonder how much bleep we talked about, everybody.
Well, I think you were not even in the room when that
commercial broke. Oh, thank God.
I think it was just Joel and I, so hopefully it was just Joel that was dropping off the bombs.
If you guys are angry, send your emails to...
We were just pumping the pedal wheel and sprocket.
You're going to get so much...
You are.
God. I'm not!
Please stop that.
We were riding the bike!
I'm begging you to please stop that.
Come on, go.
You get us. There's this thing in New York... where was this at? It was in England.
Close enough.
You know,
a suburb.
You say tomato. It's called napper size.
And please don't tell me you're sleeping and exercising.
No, it's. I don't know how to. It says it's napper size, where participants do nothing but sleep on single beds for 45 minutes inside of an exercise studio.
What?
Yeah, it's basically they're targeting, quote, exhausted parents.
Or lazy people, maybe.
And it aims to, quote, reinvigorate the mind, improve moods, and even burn the odd calories. It begins and ends with a series of stretching exercises. If this one goes well, they may roll it out nationwide. This is the dumbest thing I've ever heard of. Napper size, so it's basically a room full of cots, and everyone takes a nap. I'm pretty sure I fart in my sleep. I snore. Like, I don't want to be laying. I don't want to be in a room full of people snoring. Yep. There might be some lady that pisses the bed. You don't know. Like, I don't want to be in that, farting and people talking in their sleep, like being weird, saying weird thing. This is the dumbest, like, and the class was full. More than 100 people have signed up for this weekend's free trial session. Just, it's a weekend. Take a nap at the house.
But if I own that cycle class and that's a downtime for me, I'm charging you. I'm making some coin off of that.
Take a nap at the house. Why
I agree
would you,
with you
leave
but this
the house
a,
to go take a nap at a studio?
So this is the same kind of stupidity, Barry, as my gym where we play hoops right by our hoop gym. We had a cycling studio forever, right?
Uh-huh.
Had windows, you know, just your, you know, nice facilities, but it was just a cycling studio. All of a sudden, they dark it out. They put neon around the outside. There's no more windows. And I go, what the hell is that for? Well, now that they have these new hip and cool cycling, I guess, I don't know if it's called cycling in the dark or cycling in the cave or something that's supposed to make you more. But they can charge three times more, and people are paying like $45 a class because it's in this dark cave atmosphere that makes you focus. It's ridiculous.
Well, they said the feedback on this has been very positive. Yeah, because they just took a nap. No one wakes up from a nap and, like, pissed off. You can't ask people, hey, how was your nap? Oh, it was great. I just had a 45-minute power nap. I feel wonderful. I loved it. Yeah, of course they're going to say it was good. They just had a nap, and they were away from their kids. It's amazing to me some of the crap that people will go and pay for. Take a nap at your house. If you have kids, then you're bad. Like, I don't know what to tell you. But I take naps on Sundays and Saturdays. Sometimes I take naps during the week before I come and do this show. If I get up early on, if I wake up at 7, chances are I might take a nap before this show. Yeah.
That's a grind. I was thinking about that this weekend, though. That is a grind for you. 6 days a week.
You know what's sad is I'm not going to get a break until the following Saturday. Not this Saturday coming up. The 20th will be my first day off.
Nick, you too, by the way.
So, because I've got... Oh, no. The 13th will be my first day off in 3 weeks. Because I've got comedy this weekend. I'm in San Antonio. So, I'll have shows to do on Saturday. Plus, I'm still doing the radio on the road. So, you know, Thursday, Friday... Actually, yeah, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Sunday, I'm doing shows and the radio.
Nick and I found replacements for you, so you're just filling in on the radio for the game day, right?
You wish.
Bye, Felicia.
Yeah, right? You see how he's like, please? Please?
Even if you were in one of those 65% of the time moments where you came in a good mood.
Yeah. Although, know? I do have the day off from working Good Friday that we get to bank and use, and I thought about using it, but I'm like, nah, okay. I'll save it. Because if I get a one-nighter somewhere on a Friday, I can use it then and go do that show and come back, so... Yeah, I'm going to save it. But yeah, man, it's tough talking for 3 hours.
You get a one-nighter, you get the oil change, the doorbell rang.
No, I don't need all that. I just want to do
They'll
comedy.
Leave the light on for you. It's all great. Cold pizza.
Stacy Mason had a good question on Twitter. If the Rockets lose in six, would you consider this season a success?
I still do. I really do, because you know what? It's year one of a whole new system with a new coach, and that could have been a struggle. They had a great regular season. They put themselves back on the map from a perspective of being a competitive team with a chance to win a championship. And there's a whole road ahead where you can tweak some things here and there and continue to get better, but the system ain't going anywhere. The coach ain't going anywhere. Your best player ain't going anywhere. So I would. I really would. I would still consider it a success.
Yeah, I think if they end up getting swept by the Spurs, ooh, then you can start to look at it as
I think that's fair.
Somewhere in between. But
yeah,
if they
I agree.
Push this to 6 or 7 and the games are close and competitive and they're losing by 4 or, you know what I mean, something like that. But if they're losing by 20 and this only goes 4 and you've got to show better than that. I mean, you played the Spurs better than that in the regular season to begin with.
Yeah, I still think it's a success. However, I do think they're getting a lot of leeway simply because of the fact of that they showed so much progress from last year. When in reality, you can kind of make the argument there was enough talent to where they were supposed to be kind of this good pretty much the past 3 seasons.
I disagree, though, because...
With Harden and everybody.
When we did picks, where did you pick them?
I picked six. Picked six because they were coming off
a
year...
So you didn't even expect them to finish third.
Because of such... The locker room culture last season was... terrible.
But your statement just said there were expectations that they would do this well, and I don't agree with that. People,
when you
no
had
one
Dwight
thought,
Howard on, the, when you had Dwight Howard, James
no, coming
Harden.
Into this year, no one thought they would be better than a 5 seed at best. Most people said 6 to 8 at
true.
Best. A lot of people thought,
you know, I said 6 to 8.
Yeah,
and fight,
a lot
and
of people
fighting for it.
Do they even make the playoffs? I mean, some people thought they
I felt like they made
the,
they were going to make the playoffs,
but no one expected this team to be the 3 seed in the West and the 3rd best record in the NBA. No one expected
Now, as an amateur comedian, I did not say that they would not make the playoffs. I said
Pursuit of the 8.
Pursuit of the 8 because that was my comedy bit.
Right.
That was my funny business. But I did say between 6 and 8 is where I thought that they would finish.
I don't That's think you said 6 or 8, did you?
I said between 6, 7, and 8.
We're going to have to go back to the film.
You can, and
that.
You
That's
can.
A long time ago. I'm not even going to go through this.
I welcome you to do that on one of your Saturdays.
I remember saying 7, maybe 6 is what I said.
Okay. I did not see this coming. That's why I think it was a successful season. I think too many people have drank too much Kool-Aid to think that all of a sudden this team is going to compete with Cleveland and Golden State.
But how do you put them much better? I don't blame anybody for not putting them above 7 or 6 when you consider the year they came off of and all the drama that was going on in the locker room last season.
And again, new system, new coach. And are they going to grasp onto it? You know, there's a lot of different factors involved. You know, look at what you paid for Ryan Anderson. So much so that you had to redo James Harden's contract so that Ryan Anderson was your highest paid player. And then you bring in a guy like Eric Gordon who's averaged 50-some games a year, and you gave him 15. So there was a lot of question marks going into the year. And then Nene gets a bargain basement deal, and everybody goes, he's over the hill, he's past his prime, he's not going to help you. So there were a lot of questions. That's why I think it was an overwhelming success. And I told people throughout the year, appreciate what they did in the regular season. And don't be too hard on them, depending on what happens in the playoffs. But I agree with you. If they get swept in this series, then I would be disappointed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that just cannot happen. Absolutely not.
Especially with how good, as you mentioned, how well, even losing 3 of 4 to the Spurs, they played them well, and they let a couple probably slip through their fingers, that they were there. So I would hate to see them get hung out to dry 4 straight games.
Ugh. That'll be sad.
Yeah, without question. So if you want to chime in, let us know. We're at the midway point. So if you've got thoughts on this or other things, 713-780-3776, or hit us up on Twitter. Next, we have Monday Movie Moments with Trey. It's Pulp Fiction, and we have outtakes. Oh, it's a double dose of fun on a Monday. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5.
Let's all go to the movies.
Take 2. Mark.
And action.
The Usual Suspects present Monday Movie Moments with Trey.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Funny like I'm a clown? I amuse you?
Then the first and last words out of your filthy sewers will be, sir.
You call yourself a salesman, you son of a bitch?
I still love the way he says, you son of a bitch.
He kind
of
sits the on the B a little bit.
Yeah, I dig it, though. All right, it's 2:30. That means it is Monday Movie Moments with Trey time. And this week, we get a lot of feedback every week from people making suggestions. And so we had this in the queue anyways. So I think this is as good of a time as any to roll it out. We established that Trey needs to be angry when he plays a character. And what better character to play than Samuel L. Jackson in Pulp Fiction. So, without further ado, here is Trey reenacting a scene from Pulp Fiction.
Look, I'm sorry. I didn't get your name. I got yours, Vincent, right? But I never got...
My name's Pitt, and you ain't talking your ass out of this.
No. I just want you to know how sorry we are that things got so... up with us and Mr. Wallace. When we got into this thing with the best intentions, really. I never...
Oh, I'm sorry. Did that break your concentration? I didn't mean to do that. Please, continue. I believe you were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were through anyway? Well, let me retort. Would you describe for me what Marcellus Wallace looks like?
What?
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I know? Do they speak English and what, mother?
What?
English, mother. Can't you speak it?
Yes.
Then you understand what I'm saying.
Yes.
Now describe to me what Marcellus Wallace looks like.
What?
Say what again? Come on, say what again? I dare you. I double dare you, mother. Say what again? Say what one more damn time?
He's black.
Go on.
He's bald.
Does he look like a bitch?
What?
Does he look like a bitch?
No!
Then why do you try to f*** him like a bitch?
I didn't.
Yes, you did, Britt. You tried to f*** him.
Where do you put it?
Top three.
Top three, really?
Yeah, that was really good.
It was pretty good.
I enjoyed it. And I love that when we first did this, it was just Trey reading the scene.
Right.
And now we have actual production value behind it. Michael Carroll.
Yeah, Michael Carroll.
God bless Michael Carroll.
Genius.
Yeah.
One of the, I mean, you talk about MVPs at this station.
God, he does know what the production
hero.
Value. Yeah.
But yeah, you felt like Trey was literally in that scene. Like you, it didn't sound any different.
Sound like they just made a set specifically for him just so he can record that part of the scene.
Yeah, and then reenacted it. And then now I understood that he, Michael Carroll, also captured some outtakes. So do we have those?
I agree with you. Angry black guy. I'm pretty good at.
We need
no offense to angry black men.
Look at Trey, you don't need to say that. Like, I talked about it on air.
I just want
to
cover all the bases, make sure nobody's offended.
I think they're okay. You didn't say anything racist this time.
No, I haven't ever said anything racist.
Oh, what? Are you sure?
Yes, 1,000%.
You're on record as having said it. When you did that monologue, you said the N-word.
No, I did not. I did not say the N-word.
What else was Samuel L. Jackson screaming in? Because the snakes on the plane is just the one line.
Motherfucker. I believe you were saying something about your best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were, damn it. I believe you were saying something about best intentions. What's the matter? Oh, you were tough anyway.
Oh, through, damn, tough. What the f***?
Well, let me retort. What's the matter? Oh, you were through anyway. Well, let me retort.
Damn it, hold on.
Yes, you did, Britt. You tried to f*** him.
When does he say, like,
the only person Britt likes, Mr. Wallace likes being f***ed by is Mrs. Wallace.
Like, when does he say that? Did that get cut off?
No. You really wanted to say that, huh?
Yes.
That's good. How do you feel about that one?
That was good.
Does this feel better to you than the other?
Yeah, like, I don't know why, but, like, when I'm an angry black man in my head, like, I feel much better about myself.
You're going
yes.
Powered?
Hey, did y'all ever hear about the two guys that were urinating off a bridge? One was from California, one was from Arkansas. One said, the water's cold, and the one from California said, yeah, and it's deep, too. I got that joke from Sling Blade.
Yes, you did, Britt. You tried to f*** him. All right, Mr. Wallace doesn't like being f***ed by anybody other than Mrs. Wallace.
He had to get it in.
He's a loose cannon when we do these.
I love
so
him.
Random.
He's a great
I know.
Dude.
Love the random parts.
The joke, like, that's like the lamest joke ever, and he just was like, I'm going to squeeze this in here.
I think you've traumatized him, because now he gives credit to everything ever since he's been caught.
Yeah,
was he jacking
jokes.
Something off Reddit, was
yes,
it?
Yes. Yeah. You really have traumatized him in many ways, but that is one of those ways.
In many ways?
In many ways. Like, before you got here today,
yeah.
He was like, someone asked him, like, if you had your choice to be more mad at, like, white guys or Hispanic guys or something like that, he's like, I would say, excluding Joel, white guys. No, wait. And then there's Barry. Well, no, and then Barry's mean to me. No, and then Barry. And it was like one of those debates between Trey. And I was going, just make up your mind.
Trey's having a debate with himself.
He does it a lot.
Not a shock.
No.
Not a shock in the least. Yeah, so that was your Monday movie moments with Trey. There was a lot of requests for Pulp Fiction, and we give the people what they want.
I really like those outtakes. Those
outtakes are making it even better.
Those are in the top three, at least, in the outtakes, right?
Yeah.
I agree with that. Yep. Yeah. And we've had, look, I'm not trying to bash that one, but it's a credit to how good they've been. That there have been better ones in my mind, but you every time he says "batch,"
it's starting to get to the point where he's setting a new bar every time.
Right?
Yes, he is. Yeah. Somebody said, "Oh my god!" Well, yeah. Feedback is Joker from Dark Knight. Again, you need anger. You've got to have him be over the top angry. Someone said, "Oh, he has a knack for impressions." That was too funny. And then someone texted in, laughing my ass off, Trey needs a full-time job. He's clearly the most talented person on this radio station. LOL.
Don't know about that.
And yeah, you, my
clearly,
friend.
Clearly.
Pump your brakes.
You, my friend, exactly. Might want to pump your brakes.
No credit to the director.
No, that ain't happening.
That would
because
be
half
me?
I mean, 40% of the time, the director's crotchety.
I bring out the best in him when we're doing these scenes. I am a director extraordinaire, thank you. If it weren't for me, Trey would just probably still kill it. Let's be real.
No points.
Trey,
here comes you the saltiness.
No, points. No, I'm saying Trey's Trey's just naturally funny. It doesn't take much. You put a script in front of him and you tell him go and he does it. He's an awesome, hilarious kid.
I'm telling you, I love that guy. He's a good kid.
You guys
better and better
probably
and better.
The best sport on this network.
Without a doubt, you got to be able to take a joke sometimes, and he can roll.
He
with
takes
the best
several.
You know what, Nick? Yeah. Here's what I'm suggesting. Because Trey is who he is, I think in the coming weeks, or maybe even for Barry's trip to San Antonio, Trey should go along. They should go on like a 2-hour each way road trip where they could just, and then Barry could tweet us while he's doing it.
Never going to happen.
I just think the camaraderie there would be, and the bonding opportunity is so great.
You underestimate my patience.
We got to get Trey and Kobe in a car ride with Barry at the same time.
You know what? I would do
for
that
like 3 hours.
I would do that. I'm not gonna lie. I would do that.
But there's got to be cameras inside the car. You know what I mean?
Oh God!
So just like my man that does the car seat karaoke or whatever.
Yeah, karaoke.
You could do some kind of.
I don't know.
Car tweeting with Kobe and Trey.
Just driving dumb. That's what we'll
call
it.
There you go.
Just
driving dumb. Don't
hey, Chase,
drive
we
dumb.
See you. Joel's going to get to your call right after the break.
Go ahead.
What?
Well, then take us to a break.
I'm just saying.
All right, we'll be back right after this.
I'll do it.
Well, he was like, I'm not going to mention it because I don't want Chase to hear what I'm about to say.
Oh, gosh. You guys, you're killing me. I need to eat my chicken and lettuce. Let's do this.
Have we not thrown a breaker at him?
I did it, and he didn't go
he
to
did
break.
You didn't throw it.
I don't feel
it.
Like pushing the button.
All right, well, I'm turning my mic off. We'll be back right after this.
Cut to the chase, will you?
It's Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Joel, Barry, and Sassy Pants till 4 o'clock on The
Pants.
Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
Someone texted the show said Nick is getting awfully sassy.
I don't even know what he's referring to.
He's referring to you getting sassy. You get sassy with me a lot. Now you get sassy
you
with
sure.
Joel.
I've always gotten sassy with Joel.
That's true.
I don't.
And I've never called you out on it. You don't. You get salty. And you're just a mean-spirited person,
okay,
which we figured out.
Yes. I will agree with that. Yes. I do have a lot of hate in my heart. Someone texted the show and said, Lammy! How dare you stop that scene before we got to the Bible scripture? That would have pushed over the top. Well, he doesn't get a whole segment, all right? He gets a minute or two. He had his moment. It's Monday. We move on. I'm not letting him do the whole movie. We got a part. Maybe later on when we run out of ideas, he can do the Bible verse scene. I don't know. Maybe we'll bring it back for another one.
Come on, Lammy.
That goes back to a... Did I do that on this show or the... I can't remember. But, it was on Sunday. We were talking about Mike Liebeschock. His nickname is Shock. And I said he's lucky because I don't have a cool nickname that can be generated from my last name. Like, Lammy isn't cool. And so some people call me Lammy now because of that.
Yeah, I was going to say original.
Well, you know. It's what it's what us Lammies are known for, our originality.
Okay.
Can I talk about another off-topic? Oh, no, we got to do Chase. I don't want to miss that. But I want to talk about this Cambodian actress named Denny Kwan.
Okay, and I want to talk about the fact that Isaiah Thomas lost a Tufus's yesterday.
Yes, we need to do that too.
Yeah.
But this chick is banned from making movies in Cambodia because she's, quote, too sexy. And I'm going to have to say no.
Movies.
I'm going to have to say no.
No. Okay, Kobe.
But I'll tweet the link out.
Okay, Kobe Lammy.
Yeah.
Kobe Lammy. All right, that's going to have to wait. Chase is here. He wants to talk about the Rockets and Spurs comments. Chase, what's up?
He literally hung up right when you talked. Like, literally, I was literally about to push the button and he hung up.
Your lies. You just hung up on Chase.
Why'd you hang up on Chase, Nick?
We were
because
just
you were sassy
about
pants. We were talking about the fact we were going to Chase after the break. You come back, you hang up because you're sassy, and then we look like idiots because we threw to a call that wasn't there.
You're right. He was probably about to talk about NASCAR, so I hung up on his ass.
Oh, that's Trey.
Aaron Powell has a good idea.
Okay.
We should do a Driving Miss Daisy where Barry does Morgan Freeman.
Can Barry do Morgan Freeman?
You dirty son of a... And then Trey says all the old lady stuff.
The guy that wears Rockets jerseys Trey's can do a pretty good Morgan Freeman.
Trey's Miss Daisy. Bastard.
Oh, Chase is back.
Trey's,
Nick, don't hang up on him.
Yeah. We might do that. That's not a bad idea.
I still want the courtroom scene.
Okay. I'm going to do it.
And I want the courtroom scene and you can put in.
It's going to suck, but we're going to do it. I'm telling you.
He can do Jack and you can pump in the Tom Cruise audio.
Do people tell Francis Ford Coppola how
to? Oh, here we go. All right, Chase, we're sorry that Nick hung up on you. He was very, very upset about it, and he said he just had to act out.
Chase, turn your radio down, dude.
I'm here, man.
Turn your radio down.
Go, brother. What's up?
Oh, man, I was just talking about the Spurs and Rockets, man, and I really think it's 4-2 Rockets. I know we're a little off topic. I was enjoying the hold and your movie trivia thing. It was pretty nice. So you got to pick your poison with the Rockets, right?
Yep.
Pick and roll. Are you going to put Paul and L.A. slow-footed guys in the pick and roll? Who are you going to put in the pick and roll with James Harden?
I mean, what are you going to put, Capella there and Nene?
No. Well, no, for the Spurs, who's going to roll off the pick and roll if you're going to take away the three?
Are you saying the Rockets are going to take away the Spurs three, or the Spurs are taking away the Rockets?
I think he's asking, how are the Spurs going to guard the pick and roll? Who do they use to guard the pick and roll is his question.
They've eaten them all four games. They've done that, and they didn't switch, so you have them out on skates. I was just curious since there's, you know, Paul is, I'll take Cantor, Steven Adams, and all those big guys over Paul, L.A., and, excuse me, some of the Spurs guys. I don't even know the big guys' names, but I just don't see how they keep up in the pick and roll, or if you run them off the line. I don't know. Who would you put in there?
Go ahead, Barry.
Spurs.
I mean, you don't change anything if you're the Spurs. Whoever they're running the pick and roll, if they're running the pick and roll with Capella and Deadman's in the game, then Deadman guards the pick and roll with them. I don't think you change anything. And
so you switch.
Yeah, I mean, no, you let
you can show on the other side of it to jam him up, yeah. And you can still recover, too.
By the way, who do you think is Danny Green going to be guarding James Harden? Or are they going to go ahead and let Parker do that?
I hope not, because Danny Green...
Oh, no, I think Kawhi's going to guard Harden, especially during key...
Do you?
Especially in the last 5 minutes of the game or at key moments in the game. I definitely think that Kawhi will be isolated on him.
I think you're underestimating the Spurs, though, dude. The Spurs... They're a smart enough team and well coached enough that they're not going to be trying to go over the top of those screens. They're just not going to do that. And that's how you get beat in that pick and roll. You go over the top. They're not going to do that. Pop would lose his mind.
Okay. Yeah, and the last three games I've noticed, I was running through YouTube watching the last one. Yeah, the Spurs finished, and that's where our problem is. I'm a Spurs. I'm from San Antonio, so that's by heart. I'm a Spurs. Go Spurs guy, but. I just don't see where they, with a fresh Decker, I guess you would throw him on Kawhi off the bench. And then, you know, you've got the eight starters from the Rockets, what D'Antonio calls them. I just don't see where they keep up with the pace, the pick and roll, and they don't have the bench. Andre Robertson is a pretty dang good defender, and the Rockets shot 27% and still won at the Thunder's game, big man game.
Chase, you're a Clipper. You're a Spurs fan and you're picking the Rockets. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Well, we appreciate the call, Chase.
Yeah,
thanks
Chase,
for being
thanks
here,
for
man.
Calling. Look, one, Decker is probably not even going to play. He's not going to play tonight. He may not play all week. We don't know. But if you're putting Sam Decker as an option of guarding Kawhi Leonard, you're in big trouble.
Yeah, and don't believe. don't believe short clips on YouTube. You've got, if you watched all four games, I'm not worried about the Spurs guarding the pick and roll.
For every point he made about what just happened in the first four games, who won three of the four games?
Yeah, I mean, that's...
And this is a seven-game series where we said now teams really tighten the screws. They try and really take things away from you, and they plan and scheme and do things, whereas the regular season, it's just another... It's one game. So it's going to be... Look, I still think... I said it, and Barry and I both said... It's going to be a long series. I think it should be a very competitive series. I think it's one of the most compelling series left out there. But if you make me make the choice, I think and I don't worry about the Spurs bench. Although if you look at Patty Mills, if you look at some of the guys that they bring off their bench that are effective, they are definitely not slouches. But the Rocket starters have to play better.
Yeah, well,
because you're going to get it from Lou Williams and Eric Gordon and Nene. Unless you start in an A.
You're facing a much better bench than you did in the first round against the Thunder. There's no doubt about that. When you look at the second line for the Spurs completely, David Lee, Pau Gasol, Kyle Anderson, Patty Mills, and Ginobili, much better than anything the Thunder were running out there. So your bench scoring is still going to have to maintain its level, but your starters are going to have to play better too. So
there you have it. Shea, we see you. We're coming to you after the break. We've got two in the books, one to go. Plenty more show. If you guys want to stay on the Spurs and Rockets, let us know. Otherwise, we can switch to other topics like Toofuses and girls too sexy for their movies and things like that. So feel free to join us. Twitter, phone call, text, all are optional and available to you now at the Usual Suspects right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.